Well, it's a little hard to kind of follow that. But we're here this morning and we're starting the Advent season. It's the time that we Christians take as our worship time in preparation for the big celebration. Advent begins on the Sunday closest to the Feast of St. Andrew and spans four Sundays that lead up to Christmas. And historical records show the practice dates more than, in one form or another, over 1,400 years ago. There is a local council in France that declared that Christians should practice fasting on certain days, the week between Feast of St. Martin and until Christmas. Now, the practice of Advent soon spread throughout Europe to various degrees of preparation and penitence. But no one is exactly sure how the Advent wreath came into real being. But often they credit a man in Germany by the name of Heinrich Wittgen in around the 19th century. He had an elaborate wreath made. He had 19 small candles with four large candles, and a small candle was lit each day during the week, a large candle on the Sundays leading up to Christmas. The simplified version that has gained popularity throughout North America and all over Europe sort of started around the early 20th century. And even somehow when I was growing up, I don't recall Advent being such a portion of our services. But as we've learned, there's a real meaning in the practice of Adventing. In fact, through the Advent season, the progression that we take, that journey each and every week, has a very significant part in my time, in my spiritual time as I prepare for the big celebration and the joy of Christmas. Just as we contemplate the cross through the Holy Week prior to Easter, Advent is the time that we contemplate the biggest birthday celebration of all time. And as long as we don't allow ourselves to get too legalistic and caught up in Advent symbols, we can use them to bring us through this preparation time. As we look at the Advent wreath, for example, it's a circle. And what better way to talk about God, who is eternal with no beginning and no end? If ever anything has symbolism, it certainly is the Advent wreath. For the shape of the wreath also reminds us of the fellowship we have as believers who all around share about the celebration of the coming of his coming. The wreath is also a symbol of victory. A garland was often placed on a victor's head when they had a military conquest or an athletic contest. So naturally, we Christians can think of the crown of life that Jesus won for us. The Advent wreath is usually made up of evergreens, and these branches, they indicate one thing: ever green, ever alive. So they too symbolize Christ, who died, who is alive, and will never die again. The evergreen branches also symbolize our soul's immortality to Christ Jesus. He came to the world to give us a never-ending life. These evergreens have a traditional meaning which can be adapted to our faith. Candles, of course, are often recognized as symbolizing God coming into the world, and the four outer candles represent the period of waiting through the four Sundays of Advent. The 4 weeks are often recognized as the four centuries that waiting took place between the prophet Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, and the birth of Christ. Often they're also talked about as representing the 1,000 years, each candle for 1,000 years, the 4,000-year span between Adam and Eve and the birth of our Savior. The light, of course, itself is this important symbol of the season. The light reminds us of Jesus, the light of the world, that comes to the darkness of our lives and brings a newness and life and hope. It also reminds us that we are called to be the light of the world as we reflect God's grace to others, as it says in Isaiah 42 and verse 6. The progression of lighting candles symbolizes the various aspects of our waiting. As the candles are lit each week, it symbolizes from darkness of our fear and hopelessness receding and the shadows of our sin falling away as more and more light is shed through the world. The flame of each new candle reminds us that as we worshipers, that there is something happening, But there's more to come. As you can see, we do have an Advent wreath here with four candles, three purple, one pink. And once again, there is meaning in the colors that attach to this. In antiquity, purple dye was a very expensive and very much the color of royalty. We use purple for Advent because it is a season of coming of the King. In Mark chapter 15, verses 17 and 18, it says, "The soldiers dressed Jesus in purple robe. They wove a thorn branch of crown and put it on his head. They saluted him and they taunted him and they said, 'Hail, King of the Jews.' They made a mockery of the reality of the King of Earth being dressed in purple. However, they unwittingly demonstrate a spiritual truth. The King was in their midst. The purple of Advent is also the color of suffering, and it's also used during Lent and the Holy Week. This points us to the connection between Christ's birth and his death. We cannot separate his birth from his crucifixion. The purpose of Jesus' coming to the earth was the Word was made flesh, dwelt among us to reveal God, his grace, through the world, through his life, his teaching, but through his suffering and death, and his resurrection. With the focus of the Advent, or the coming of Jesus, especially in his anticipated second coming, there remains a need for preparation for what is coming. In the 4 weeks of Advent, the third Sunday came to be a time of rejoicing that the fasting was now almost over. The shift from purple to pink on the third candle of Advent reflects the lessening emphasis on penitence and the attention turning to celebration. After all, Christ, the light of the world, came to dispel darkness and the sin and to radiate the truth and love of God. He is our hope. Why only the third candle is pink? No matter what I did, I could not figure that out. But I can say that by the third Sunday of Advent, there really is a true sense of anticipation and excitement that the celebration is just upon us. Once again, I say, all of these traditions and symbols are only aids to direct our worship, not the things that we need to put much emphasis on and distract us from the real reason of the season, but to aid us and to remind ourselves that we are on a journey. On Christmas Eve, we'll exchange the pink and purple candles to white. We'll have a larger center candle, and we'll call it the Christ candle. And we'll light all the candles and rejoice, for the season will be over and the celebration will be upon us. But until then, the spirit of Advent is expressed well in the parable that we read about the bridesmaids who were anxiously waiting for the bridegroom. There was profound joy when the bridegroom's expected coming, but there's a warning to be prepared through that parable. But until then, the prayer of Advent is, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. Let's pray. Our loving and heavenly Father, each Advent we remember your promise to send our Savior, someone who leads us and guides us through our daily lives. You've kept your promise. You sent Jesus to dwell in our hearts and to be the center of our lives. Jesus, you are always with us, and we know that. Help us to do what we can to let our happiness show. Open our eyes, dear Savior, to see the good in one another. Help us to recognize all that is good in our lives. And may our Advent journey take us closer and closer to you. Light of Jesus, shine on us today and every day. Amen.